I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page. Marissa, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am terrific. I'm actually healthy.
Yay.
Yay. So we'll knock on wood, and all of our listeners just heard me do that. I knocked on the table that my mic is mounted to.
I knocked too.
Oh, man. It was so long. So we'll see how long it lasts. Mm-hmm. I still might cough, but I did find out that our technician Tim, I guess I'm not supposed to call him engineer, Tim, who knows? He's been editing out my coughs.
What a guy.
I never knew that.
I was thinking that because I remember listening to some where I was coughing, or when I knew, like, I could hear one of my kids yelling.
Yeah.
And thinking, like, I think that was edited out.
He is earning his pay. Especially with my coughs. But maybe tonight I won't cough. Who knows? I might still cough.
Let's not think too much about it.
No, we're not going to, because then I will. But so we're not talking about coughing today, but we are talking about handshakes. And perhaps the wrong kind of handshakes could be making me sick. No, we won't go down that path either. Hand sanitizer. But so we are going to talk about handshakes. And I have a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, who did something in terms of selling of a property that blew me away.
Mm-hmm.
He had owned a very, very preferred piece of property in one of the nicest developments in central New York. And you know the development, so would you agree it's probably one of the nicest?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it was the choice lot in this thing. And so he and his wife decided that they weren't going to build on it. So he had this lot, and he was just holding on to the lot, and a man came to him and said, you know, do you want to sell? And he goes, no, I really don't want to sell. So like a year or two later, the man came back, and he says, you know, wouldn't you sell? And so what my friend did was he literally determined a price that he would need to get for it. And the man said, you know, I'll pay you for it. That I will give you that. So my friend agreed, you know, just with his word, I'll sell it to you for that. All of a sudden, somebody else found out that the lot was for sale and offered my friend more money than he agreed to sell to the other man for. And my friend said, no, I can't do that. I gave my word to the other gentleman. So he turned down the opportunity of making a significant amount of extra money because he had simply given his word. And it just, to me, that just speaks of the character of my friend. When he gives you his word, you know, it used to be that years ago, you would buy things on a handshake. You didn't need lawyers. You didn't need, you know, contracts and agreements that are 12 pages long. It was, I think this is a good price. I do too. Here's my handshake. We're good to go. That doesn't happen anymore. And I know you and I spoke before we were, we started recording of, you know, in Stephen M. R. Covey's book, The Speed of Trust, he talks about Warren Buffett buying McLane Distribution from Walmart for I don't know how many. I'm not certain if it was billions. If it wasn't billions, it was hundreds, millions. It was a lot of money on a handshake. You know, when people trust each other, they don't need to have contingencies and this and that and something else and, you know, teams of lawyers, because people just keep their word. And one of the problems, the reasons why contracts have to be so convoluted is people try to get out of them.
Right.
Because they don't want to honor their word. And then it got me thinking about, so, okay, where else are we losing that? And I think it's this trust is lost all over the place. And even if we think about the way people communicate with others, you know, one of the things that really, really bothers me is when people spin the truth. And they'll find a way to say what they want to say. They'll find a way to make truth sound the way they want it to sound. I don't know if I said that right. But I mean, I'm sure you've heard it where you're in a meeting and somebody says, you know, a bunch of people have been saying that. Well, wait, a bunch of people? Who?
Right.
You know, I've been hearing that, really, from who? And I, you know, I've had to call people on that and say, you know, could you tell me who? Oh, well, yeah, well, it really was only two people and
me and the mouse in my pocket.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's so it's just it's so tragic that that is now considered the norm. I mean, we, you know, you hear the phrase fake news. Mm-hmm. Well, the problem is everything seems to be fake today. I'm not sure what's real. But just like we talked about last week where I said, you know, hey, let's break the cycle of negativity. Let's break the cycle of criticizing people and let's begin to make a difference. And I think, you know, we can begin to make a difference on the truth side as well and the trust side.
Mm-hmm.
Can you think of situations where somebody has shared something with you and you really had to wonder what it really meant?
Oh, of course.
So how frequently?
Oh, I don't know. Let's say like occasionally.
Okay. Okay. I know I threw you a curveball yeah. really hard there, you know, but my point for asking you that was just, it happens to all of us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter where you are, what you're doing. And, you know, sometimes you'll get really amazing situations where a product is damaged mm-hmm. and you take it back to a store and they just say, oh, it's not a problem at all.
Right.
You know, I remember my wife took something back and if I remember the story right, it was a piece of clothing she bought and there was dirt on it.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, you know what? I honestly don't know if I got this dirty or if it was dirty when I bought it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so nice. The clerk just said, it doesn't matter. We'll take it back. But there's probably so many people that try to find a way to get something for nothing
mm-hmm.
or to return something that they damaged. And that's just a sad commentary. So, you know, one of the things I want us to talk about is how can we build trust? And in Stephen M. R. Covey's book, The Speed of Trust, he gives 13 behaviors that all of us can do to build trust. And it was no surprise to me that the first one was talk straight.
Mm-hmm.
Just be honest. Tell the truth. Leave the right impression. Think about how many times people deliberately shade the truth to leave a different impression. Now, the reason why am I so hard on this is, and I say it in my post, it's difficult to manage if you don't have trust. It's impossible to lead. So why would I say it's impossible? It's difficult to manage. Managing doesn't get the best out of people anyways. It gets compliance. And when they don't trust you, they will try everything they can to just not have to do it because they don't trust you. They don't like you.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot lead a person that doesn't trust you because leadership is all about getting them to do what you want done. But because they want to do it, they're not going to do that if they don't trust you. So if you want to be a leader, you absolutely have to build trust and you have to start by just talking straight. Don't spin the truth. Don't leave false impressions. And it's interesting that the opposite is actually to lie or to deceive. So people would say, I'm not a liar. Okay, you're not a liar by the definition of lie, but you did just intentionally deceive. So if somebody will intentionally deceive with their speech, how can I trust anything they say?
Mm-hmm.
Interesting thing here that, so in this list of trust things, there's the counterfeit. So the counterfeit to straight talk is beating around the bush. Withholding information, double talk, speaking with forked tongue, so to speak, flattery, positioning, posturing, spinning communications in order to manipulate the thoughts, feelings, or actions of others. Now, I don't want anybody to think that I'm like a Puritan in this, so to speak, or that's probably not the right way to phrase it. I'm guilty of some of these things. I'm guilty of beating around the bush. And my reason for bringing it up is, for me, I got to be careful that I don't do that, that I don't beat around the bush, that I just pretty much say what is true.
Mm-hmm.
And the nice benefit of saying what's true is you never have to worry about what you said. And you never have to worry about somebody finding out what the facts really were. You just Just say it. Another one was to demonstrate respect, and it was interesting. Marissa, I just finished a 360 for one of my coaching clients, and every single person that I interviewed talked about how much this man trusts other people, which to me was just amazing. Because, and so you'd say, well, so how would people, why would people think he trusts them? Because he demonstrates respect. He respects people. He extends trust. He understands, you know, they understand that what he says is exactly what he means. And for me, it was just, it was the highlight of a lot of the things that we talked about. You know, do you genuinely care for other people? Do you respect their dignity? Do you treat everyone equally? That's a tough one too, a lot of times for people. How about this one? Create transparency. This to me is like the holy grail, so to speak, of building trust. Just tell the truth in a way that people can verify it. And I don't think people realize how easy that is. So somebody said to me once, well, you know, you say this, but don't say it was me that said it. Well, okay, so I'm thinking about that. Now, in some cases, I'm not going to take that information and run with it. But let's say I'm doing, let's say a company brings me in to find out what's happening, to do a 360 type of thing. I can say things in a way that confirms that it's true without identifying who said it. So let me give you an example. If I have, I'm doing a 360 or something, and I'm interviewing 12 people, and I could say 4 people said this, and it occurred in this time frame. That's, I'm giving enough details to verify something,
right,
so that people would know that I'm speaking in a way where it's really true. And that's not hard. You know, you can do that. And you don't have to, if the truth is the truth, you don't need to make it sound better than it is. Because, you know, where, you know, well, we really need to change this because there's an awful lot of people upset. Well, we really need to change this because in the last week, I've had 5 customers call. And if we don't correct it, that number's going to go up. Said the same kind of thing. Let me ask you, I sent you this list. Did any of these things jump out at you?
Actually, the next one on the list, right wrongs, okay.
Yes,
jumped out to me. And I think that it takes a lot of self-awareness and vulnerability, transparency, and courage to, you know, to right those wrongs and apologize quickly after you've made a mistake, and you know, repairing or ensuring that the relationship isn't damaged as a result of of the wrong. And I think especially, I mean, so many of the items on this list are not just good for business interactions. Like, this is great for relationships and parenting too. It's so important. Like, it's one thing I always try to make sure that I apologize if I did, you know, if I misspoke or like hurt my daughter's feelings, that like we talk about it and I apologize and we, you know, rebuild that trust. And so I think that this one really jumped out at me. Because it's like, you have to be able to set aside your pride and set aside your ego. And sometimes just, you know, forget about who, you know, maybe who is right and who is wrong and just kind of work it out.
Exactly.
And I think this one is really hard. It's really difficult for us humans to figure out.
Right. Well, you know, in the base, it's based on the principles. So righting your wrong is based on the principles of humility, integrity, and making restitution. If you've wronged someone, if you can, just to make it right. And you know, we don't like to have to admit that we were wrong. You know, we don't like to admit that we failed. But if we don't, who can ever trust us?
Right.
You know, I remember growing up, you know, my dad is still my hero. And thankfully, he's still in my life. But I remember there were two specific occasions when I remember my dad apologizing for something. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was just that, you know, maybe he got angry or something. And, you know, but it just had such an impact on me. And when all of a sudden I became a father, that was something I thought about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, make sure when I don't behave in the way that my kids deserve, that I apologize. You know, and we just apologize. And it's interesting that a relationship can be much stronger if it's gone through an issue where someone has wronged someone and they've apologized, made restitution for it. That relationship can be stronger than one where someone has never been wronged.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've forged that relationship on difficult ground, if I can call it that. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of, you have to earn it back, and people realize how much. So if I'm not willing to right my wrong, it means that person doesn't matter to me.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am willing to right my wrong, it should show them that they really do matter to me. And I think maybe that's how that builds up, how you can build up that that trust. The next one, you know, showing loyalty. You know, just give credit freely. And one of the keys is to, when we speak about people, only speak about them as if speak about a person only the way you would if they were present.
Right.
I know that was a convoluted way to say that.
Mm-hmm.
But don't talk about people behind their back. If you're going to say it exactly as if they were in the room. Now, the other thing that leaders have to make sure of is that they don't let other people do that either.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're running a meeting, and, or even if we're not running it, if we're in a meeting and somebody starts talking about somebody else, we can say, hey, can we not do that? Why don't we get them in here if we're going to talk about that?
Right.
And it's just, to me, it's just that it's easy to go to, that's a slippery slope that's easy to start sliding down,
mm-hmm.
but you just can't do it. Delivering results, you know, so if you want to build trust, just be responsible, accountable, get things done,
mm-hmm.
Get better. And I thought that was an interesting one that, you know, continuously, and you know, and all our listeners do too, that I'm just kind of obsessed with this growth thing, but just get better every day. So I'm trying to figure out for myself how that builds trust. So help me, if you have an answer, let me know. But I see it, I believe it. But how does me getting better help people trust me more?
I think for me, like I relate this one to the whole like, oxygen mask on the airplane analogy. Yep. Like you have to assist yourself before assisting someone else.
Okay.
And if you're constantly getting better, it shows your commitment to the cause, you know, like you're committed to being better, to increase trust, and that increases trust.
I like that.
If that, I know that wasn't the most direct answer to your question, but it does make sense to me. Like you're invested in it. You're walking the walk.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Walking the walk. And it kind of gets back to, you know, the thing that I've said a lot of times, the quote that I like to repeat, you can't give what you don't have.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're continually getting better, you have more to give. And then naturally people would believe when you say something because you're staying on top of things. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Thank you for helping with that
mm-hmm.
one. Confronting reality. You know, leaders define reality. Leaders are willing to admit what they're seeing, but always in a way that I think gives people hope, you know, and the point here is don't skirt the real issues. Yeah, how could you trust somebody that isn't going to tell you the truth?
Right.
You know, that isn't going to tell you what's really going on. Clarify expectations. This one is huge, especially... Mm-hmm. If we think about the behavior profiles, so there's two behavior profiles that I can think of that are awful at clarifying expectations. Do you want to guess or do you want me to tell you?
I'm processing right now.
Okay.
Okay, so the ones that are awful at clarifying expectations.
Right, that are really bad at giving clear expectations.
Okay, I would definitely not C.
Right.
I think definitely D.
Right.
And I'm just fighting with myself between...
You're fighting with the next two.
Maybe I?
You're right. So I's and D's are awful with expectations because they don't take the time to explain it. The S's and the C's are really good at clarifying expectations. So I'm an I. I know that. Now, the only good thing about my I is that my S is fairly high. So that I do get a... But a lot of times, I just assume that you got it. And we think about an employee. You know, I've given someone a task, but if I haven't clarified the expectations, then I'm upset when they didn't do what I asked them to do. Shame on me, not them. In our home life, you know, with our families, you know, do we clarify expectations about what... And then so we get upset when something doesn't happen the way we want. Well, we never told anybody what we wanted. So... I can see how that one really is a way to build trust. It's just make sure you clarify what you're looking for. Practice accountability. Hold yourself and others accountable. And I think you need to practice accountability. Like if we've talked about this and maybe even on the podcast, we promise you our materials on a certain date. There really isn't an excuse for being late. It just isn't. You know, and I almost hope my coworkers are listening, you know, and now I've been late and you've been kind enough to give me some extra time. But if someone is waiting on me, you got to deliver the goods. You just can't. So just so you're aware, I've already started my next newsletter article. I know what the topic is.
It's on the record.
On the record. I love 11. Listen first. Man, we can learn so much if we just listen. Well, I shouldn't say that. I could learn so much if I would just listen first. So how do you think listening helps people trust us?
How do I think listen? I mean, I think if you're actively listening, genuinely listening, the person can tell. Again, that you're like invested in what you're saying.
Exactly. Yep. Yeah.
And that you care. You know, you care. And that you're a trusted person to be sharing with.
Right. Right. And I love how they said you listen with your ears and your eyes and your heart. And I believe it was Deming. I don't think it was Drucker. It was either Drucker or Deming that said, "And listen for the things that aren't said." Because therein lies some of the greatest truth. Number 12, keep commitments. That kind of like being accountable. You know, just keep commitments. If you said it, well, it gets back to the handshake, doesn't it? If you said it, do it. And then the last one here was just extend trust. And I remember one time somebody saying, you know, the people that don't ever trust are people you shouldn't trust. Because there's a reason. I thought, huh. That was an interesting one. And that's too when I realized how many of these people I interviewed a week ago on this 360 when they said, yeah, he just trusts us. He trusts his team. He trusts his coworkers. And my guess is that, well, and I know they trust him because he's extending trust to them. And if you think about the handshake, you know, when Warren Buffett could seal the deal with a handshake, it was because two parties trusted each other and extended trust to each other. And if you extend trust to someone, you don't ever want to let them down. And they don't want to let you down. So I guess we would have to say you got to be careful who you trust. But still, be willing to trust. And know this, that you're going to be betrayed. At some point, you're going to be betrayed. You know, and so I would say, you know, okay, so the first time, shame on me for missing it. You're just now a person that I'm not going to be able to trust. So do you think you can rebuild broken trust? What are your thoughts?
I think it's situational.
Okay.
But I think it's possible.
Yeah. I've been doing a teaching lately for a lot of school districts. In fact, mm-hmm. I'm going to do one Monday night and then a week from Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
I'm doing it again. And they're all on the same thing. They're all on trust.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we typically like to do, if someone has wronged us or breached trust, we typically jump to the conclusion that that was an intentional breach of trust.
Right.
When most of the time that's not the case. There could be all kinds of reasons. There could be misunderstandings. It could be a lapse of judgment,
mm-hmm.
you know, where, I mean, I've been told things, hey, just don't say anything. And, you know, oh my goodness, it slipped out. That happens. You know, it shouldn't, but it does. Those I think you can rebuild it, but you know, it's interesting. There's a quote and I don't have it with me, but I forgot who said it, but he said, you can't talk your way out of a situation you behaved yourself into.
Mm-hmm.
So what that means is you have to behave yourself out of that situation by really going back, truly apologizing, you know, asking for forgiveness, making the restitution, righting the wrongs, all of those things, just to get back a level of trust that hopefully over time can be built up again. So I really think this is something that in our day and age, our society needs to work on a lot, because we all know, like, you read something in the news, it doesn't matter what news source it is, everybody wonders what the agenda is behind it.
Right, and how the story could have been spun.
How could it have been spun? In fact, mm-hmm. there are people that are hired just to spin news.
Mm-hmm.
And the loser really is going to be, well, all of us have lost, but the big losers are the people that we get to a point where we can't trust them anymore. You know, and I know of people where I feel like I have to verify everything they say because mm-hmm. they've spun things. And that's sad. And it's got to be exhausting. It's much easier just to say it like it is, politely, mm-hmm. but say it like it is. Anything you'd want to add to this? I felt like I did way too much. I'm looking at how much talking I did versus you. And all I got is a bunch of green lines on this saying I did all the talking.
Oh, well. I mean, we each have our own strong areas, and you know this book better than I do, so that's okay.
Well, you know, it's probably because I'm teaching on it a lot, so yeah. I'm kind of living it.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a while since I read it, probably about, I don't know, almost 2 years now, but I really do think that there are serious costs associated with trust, and that's a big portion and upfront on the book, The Speed of Trust, that
right.
all of us math people can really get behind and understand. It spoke to my brain that way, like understanding what this is really costing us. And I think of it almost like an inner circle. So like those of us who are really working on being trustworthy and trust and extending trust are inside the circle. And there are so many things trying to influence us out of the circle, like these news stories and just social situations or being in those meetings where maybe a third person is being spoken about in mm-hmm. Not an appropriate way. And it's those types of situations trying to pull us over into the outside of the circle. But the more people that are in the circle, the better we'll all be, if that makes
sense. I like that.
That makes
sense. So we need to build our circles of trust.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're inside the circle, we can relax
because
we know the people that are around us are people of trust.
Mm-hmm.
So next week, you can do a lot of talking. That's that. Now, you know what? I led into that in a really bad way when I tell people what the title is. I don't feel like it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to set you up like that.
You know, I said, like, we each have our strong areas. I have a real strength in not feeling like doing things.
But what I meant by that was there's a lot of help you can give us, those of us that sometimes just don't feel like it. So that's what we're talking about next week.
Yes. I need to give myself that help first.
All right. So until next week, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.